You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 8:59 a.m. Next up, we have Fight the Empire.
As it seems, and all of the like minds reel from this blow to the heart. To each other on the night of the supermoon. There was nowhere left to run. Now it's time to do or die.
Well, good morning. My name is Per Fograng, and the show is Fight the Empire, first show of our new year. And if people want to call in, the number to call in is 503-231-8187. One thing that usually happens at the beginning of a year, a new year, is sort of the old question, what lies ahead? And so people make predictions and things like that. There's a news service called Vox Online, which is an online news service. And they make a few predictions about what will happen in 2022. And they say that, one thing, the Democrats will lose their majorities in the House and the Senate. And they're sort of 95% confident about that. They also say that that the U.S. inflation will be less than 3%, and they're 80% confident about that. And it's very interesting that they say 3% or less than 3%, but the current inflation rate is 6.8%. Going on with Vox, they say that unemployment will stay below 4% by November. And they also, this is very interesting, they predict that the Supreme Court will overturn Roe v. Wade, which allows for abortions. And they apparently are 65% confident about that. People want to call in with their reaction to that. The number to call is 503-231-8187. Going on with Vox, they predict that that France will re-elect President Emmanuel Macron. And they also say that Brazil will re-elect their weird president Jair Bolsonaro. They're only 55% confident about that, and so maybe Brazil will see some better days. I understand that Lula da Silva, he is out of prison now. He was in prison on some trumped-up charge, but he is a candidate for a president of Brazil. And the last I saw, the odds seem to be in his favor. Bolsonaro has not been much of a success. And finally, Vox predicts that 2022 will be warmer than 2021. And they are 80% confident about that. Well, that seems like pretty much that's an easy prediction that with the global warming continuing, one can almost expect that every year will be a little bit warmer than the last year. So that is, those are the predictions from Vox, which is an online news service. If anyone who wants to call in, what do you think will happen this year? What do you look forward to this year with trepidation or with confidence? What do you think will happen? Number to call is 503-231-8187. Going on with some predictions, the London Economist magazine, they make a few predictions. They say that they predict that the Republicans will win control of the House of Representatives. That's a pretty easy one. They predict that Lula da Silva will reclaim the presidency of Brazil. And they predict that Macron will win the French presidential election. And they see that electric vehicle sales in U.S. Will be more than 600,000, which is up from 330,000 in 2019. So electric vehicles seem to be the car of the future, at least for now. I sometimes wonder that even electric vehicles have to be made out of mineral resources that are not renewable, that are merely extracted from the earth, and once they are extracted, they are gone unless they get recycled somehow. The London Economist also predicts that at least 6.5 billion COVID jabs will be administered in 2022. That's around the world, that 6.5 billion people will get their vaccinations, which I'm not sure what the population of the world is. I think that's about half the world's population. They also predict that more than 2.5 million people will die from COVID-19 in 2022. And their prediction on inflation is they predict that inflation will exceed 4% in the U.S. Those are the predictions they are sort of more or less certain about. Then there are some that they, I don't know why they call them predictions, because they think that they will not happen, but I guess these are predictions that some people make that the London Economist does not think will happen. They do not think that Russia will invade Ukraine. You hear a lot of talk about that. It's really kind of strange. It's almost the impression I get sometimes is that people who talk about this are hoping that Russia will try to invade Ukraine. But the London Economist, they rate that about a 43% chance, so less than half a chance that Russia will invade Ukraine.
Doug is on the line.
We have somebody on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I hope you guys can hear me. It's kind of noisy out here on the freeway. I'm driving north on I-5.
Oh, okay. I hear you.
Okay, good. Good. So one of the things that I would like to observe about what I think is going to happen in 2022 is that free speech is going to come to a head. And I don't know why I flipped, but when I was in college many years ago, the progressives or liberals were, you know, really free speech advocates in the ACLU and everybody else and all the parties. And it's sort of flipped. It, literally, it's flipped because now it seems that the conservatives are the ones that are supporting free speech and that it's being eroded by the very people who used to support it. So,
can you give us an example about that?
What's that?
Can you give us an example?
I can't hear you. Just said, I'm sorry.
Can you give us an example? I mean, I understand.
An example would be where the big search engines, the Facebook and other entities, which are private and have the right to suppress speech, can certainly do that. But also at the climate of in the Congress of the United States, which I think led to the January 6th uprising, where the people of this country don't believe they can be heard because everyone is censoring them, whether it's the mass media, which, by the way, I have an observation of mass media. I think it's corporate media. And in the boardrooms of AT&T and other places, that's where the depression takes place because they're all placating and they want China as a market. So, you know, free speech just seems to have gone by the wayside. And, you know, even just examples of people that are protesting, and if they're on the right and if they're just observing, like that young gentleman who was observing, and then the protesters got in his face and kept screaming at him, and of course he won a settlement from that. But it seems like the college professors, the elites, want to suppress speech. And I'm not a conservative, I'm a libertarian. And so, but I've been an observer of this trend for, oh my gosh, the last 30 or 40 years, but it seems like it accelerated in the last 10 years where speech and what you say is not important. And like college campuses where they suppress anybody that wants to come onto the campus and have an alternative viewpoint, you know, they just dismiss them, or the protesters light up buildings when they're invited on campus. So I know it's noisy. It's noisy for me because I'm hearing all this in the rain. So if any callers want to call in about free speech, or you want to observe anything about free speech, but I think it's the battle of the decade, really, is the battle of 2022, and I don't know where it's going to end up. And it's sad that free speech seems to be a luxury that we enjoyed in our society, and now it seems to be waning. And people just let it happen. They let it happen. They don't care. And I wanted to hear about why people don't care about free speech. And if it's a political viewpoint opposite to theirs, they want to suppress it. And not everywhere, but enough important places that it has an effect. So I'll take your any comments from other callers off the air. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, thank you for that call. Very interesting. The caller thinks that free speech does not have a very good future, that there are too many people lined up to suppress speech that they dislike. And I don't know, how do other callers feel about that? I think the battle for free speech is, it seems to me, just a general observation that free speech is, this is sort of the battle for free speech. You might say that's almost a part of our nation's history, that there have been always, as far back as I can remember and before that, there have been people wanting to suppress other people's free speech. And so this is sort of an ongoing and endemic feature of life in the United States. But other people may have exercise your free speech by giving us a call at 503-231-8187. Getting back to some of the predictions that we have seen, I think we left off where this is the London Economist. They think there's a less than even chance that Russia will invade the Ukraine. And I would agree with that. I think Russia will be very foolish to invade Ukraine, although some people seem to think, or the impression I get is that some people are hoping that Russia will invade the Ukraine. They're trying to goad Russia into doing it. The London Economists think there's almost a 50-50 chance that Boris Johnson will be forced out of his job as Prime Minister of Great Britain. And they see the U.S. economy growing at less than 3%, which is very interesting, because right now the apparently the U.S. economy is growing at much more than that.
Barth is on the air.
We have another caller online. Who is it?
Barth.
Boris online. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Always liked your show. Missed a little bit of it here, but you had a mention of the number of COVID inoculations that were potentially derived, and you compared it to world populace. I think what you're admitting from your equation, omitting, is that people in Western countries are going to get two or three or four or more sticks. You know, they're going to get injections and boosters and the new pills and the old pills. So the world populace in the lesser financially able countries are going to still be dying in large numbers, unfortunately, but that's the way it is. So that's my two cents. I mean, there were other interesting things. I don't know that anybody with any real brains wants Russia to get into a shooting war with anybody. And whether or not they have a valid grievance, I think you can say that they do, because they were promised that NATO would not come to their backyard, and it has. So it's a border issue for them.
Well, that's true. Another thing with Ukraine that gets overlooked a lot, even on public on NPR, on their news shows, they keep omitting the fact that an elected president of Ukraine was forced out of office, and that was apparently he was too friendly to the Russians, but he was elected, and he was forced out of office by these street protests in Ukraine. And so but that does not get mentioned very often. So the whole thing with Ukraine is some of the troubles seem to begin with a very undemocratic move on forcing out an elected president. So that's one thing to keep in mind when you hear about the troubles in Ukraine. And the news stories go on to say that so that Russia, sort of, they say Russia has invaded Ukraine, which is not quite true. It's what's going on is the Russian-friendly president elected was forced out of office. His supporters were concentrated in eastern Ukraine, and they sort of saw the handwriting on the wall, so they kind of made moves to secede, or at least protect themselves. So now you have this kind of a split between the eastern Ukraine and the rest of the country. So that's what's going on there. If anybody else wants to call in with the predictions for this brand new year, the number to call is 503-231-8187.
Harry's on the line.
Hello?
Harry's on the line.
We got another caller on the line. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing? I didn't realize you switched from Thursday to Wednesday.
Yeah, that happened, I guess about a month ago.
Oh, okay, good. So, but anyway, I'd like to talk about, you were talking about Ukraine. And I think it's a propaganda stint from the United States because we only get in certain information. Our press gets the information from the State Department, their daily briefings, and they just repeat it, and that's all they do. If Russia has, they were saying, has 70,000 troops on the border, Ukraine has an army of 250,000. And I says, well, why don't they just put some troops on their border to stop that? But you don't even mention that. And how the Ukraine is set up is still like the Soviet model of oligarchies. There's like eight of them, and each of them have their own troops. Do you want to send your troops to the border and either get them killed or leave you unprotected? And it's like, no, they don't want to. So they're not mentioning about Ukrainian troops. There's a low-level war going on there with the breakup of those two provinces that want to succeed. But, you know, there's a rocket here, snipers, something like that, but it's very low level.
It seems to me about 14,000 people have been killed.
And get rid of it, but with the Russian troops there, they'll be cut off. I mean, the Russian troops will go right behind them, and so much for, and don't forget there's a peace treaty. And we don't talk about the peace treaty between these two breakaway and Ukraine. For it to cease fire, and so this kind of keeping it up online. But you have to look at other news agencies to find that out, because the American news agency is just going to get the report from the State Department and just read what the State Department says.
Well, I think you know, there really is a war going on in eastern Ukraine. I believe about 14,000 people have been killed in that war. But it's a very serious thing going on there. But the reasons for it, I think, are kind of clear, is that the people of eastern Ukraine are sort of more Russian-speaking people, and they feel that this forcing out of their president, the one that they voted into office, does not bode well for them. And so that has sort of pushed them into kind of drawing their battle lines. So, but we don't hear about that a lot. We also don't hear about, Russia invading Crimea. But it's very interesting. For about 150 years or more, Crimea was part of Russia. It was kind of taken from the Turks back in 1700 and something by Catherine the Great. And but it's only recently that back in 1954, Soviet Premier Khrushchev gave it to Ukraine, which is kind of weird. Didn't consult with the people, but just kind of gave it to Ukraine. Of course, then it was all part of the Soviet Union, but things have changed now. So
he was also Ukrainian too.
Well, I think I heard that's what I thought, but then I saw that now they're saying he is Russian, but he was born right near the Ukrainian border, so whatever.
Oh, okay.
But why he gave it to Ukraine, I don't know, but it does not seem to have been a very good move.
Okay.
But anyway,
taking my call.
Thank you for calling. If anybody else wants to call, the number...
Great move.
us only. If anybody else wants to call, we got...
I didn't do anything.
Well, it's 9:25, so I still got a few minutes left on this show. I'm going to assume that I am on the air. We seem to be having...
You're on the air. You're on.
Am I? Okay. This is Parafoggering with... I hope that the future will be a little more... settled and than this show has been, that we're having kind of problems with our phone lines and everything. I hope that this is not a portent of the future of either KBOO or our nation, but there are all kinds of I was going to go into some more of these predictions about the future. One is that there are actually some people who think that that Trump is going to be brought back to office somehow. Now, this is kind of a dangerous prediction. I've seen people claiming that somehow the political process will put Donald Trump back in the White House either shortly or somehow in the next sometime this year. Well, the prospect of that is really very unnerving, but just the fact that a lot of people seem to believe this will happen, it seems to me that this is even that this is pretty unnerving itself. People expect him to kind of return in some kind of Trumpian triumph, and then it doesn't happen. Who knows what they will do? There's been so much, sort of democratic institutions and practices falling apart. You really have to wonder what this year will bring as far as that goes. But there are people who are waiting for the return to kind of Trump's second coming, as it were. And this is something I will be very, very wary about, because if it doesn't happen, what do you think that these people will do? But anyway, this is, I think we've got about 1 minute left in this show, so it's probably too late to call in, but I want to thank people for listening and for calling in. This has been Fight the Empire, and it's a constant, the Empire never gives up, and so fighting the Empire is really a kind of a constant struggle. So I want to thank people for listening in and calling in. This has been Per Fogring and the show to Fight the Empire. Stay tuned to KBOO. It's your radio station. We, the people, own this station, and we keep it going. It is our voice on the air, on the airwaves that are kind of cluttered with a lot of basically a lot of junk and false information, and we try to be an antidote to that, kind of a voice of sanity and a voice of truth on the sort of weird airwaves we have. So thank you for listening, and stay tuned to KBOO. It's your radio station. Thank you.